Let's have our Bibles open to Luke chapter 10 as we get started with our Lord's Day services this morning. Luke chapter 10, we are going to continue our Be Like series in this 9:30 hour where we are looking at men and women in the Bible, people just like us, and looking at the challenges that they faced or the things that they did that provide good, positive examples for us to follow, to imitate, or to be like. Today, we're going to look at someone that perhaps you would say doesn't belong in a series like this because we're looking at a character from a parable. But I'm going to show as we bring this study to a close, I'll show you how this is a fitting person for us to be looking at. Insurance companies, I guess, are very competitive like any other company is. And they come up, spend a lot of money on their advertising and coming up with jingles and slogans that say something about their product or something about their company and their service. And of course, if it's real catchy, we'll keep it in our minds and think about it even when we're not watching it on TV, the commercials on TV. And one of those is State Farm. And State Farm, their motto is, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That's right. And so they're wanting to convince us that they aren't just a company, but they're going to be a good neighbor to us. And when we are in need, they will be there to help us. We understand the importance of good neighbors. In Luke chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" This is a great question, a most important question, but it wasn't sincere, and Luke lets us know that. Jesus knows it as well. He responds, he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" This follow-up question from the lawyers, what prompted the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is given to answer the question, who is my neighbor and who is the one that I am to love? Now let's read verses 30 through 37. "Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Jesus, in telling this parable, speaks of a man who is traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Though it's not specified, it's understood that this man was a Jew. This particular road went through a narrow and very deep ravine, and it was notorious for concealing bandits who would attack and rob those who traveled by, and that's what happens to this man. This traveler is robbed, he's beaten, he is stripped, and he is left for dead. So here is a man, if ever there was a man in need, here is a man who is in need. Now let's see who is going to be a neighbor. We're looking at the Samaritan. We're using him as an example of being a good neighbor. What made this man a good neighbor? Well, let's go through the text here and let's take a look. I got four things I want us to consider. Four things that made this man a good neighbor. Number one, he used the opportunity that presented itself. Now, the man who was wounded and left for dead, he wasn't a willing participant in this. He didn't do this to give these others the opportunity. These things just happen. We live in a world of time and chance. We live in a world that's full of wickedness and evil, and these things happen. So these opportunities, although this is a very extreme one, these opportunities will present themselves to us in our lives. And let's remember also a parable. Parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But in the parables that Jesus spoke, the earthly stories, the earthly part of that, they were never anything that was outlandish or unreasonable or impossible. This very likely did happen to individuals, and so they understood the point that Jesus was making here. The priest had an opportunity. He was the first person to pass by. Of course, the priest held high religious offices in Israel. They ministered before the Lord 2 weeks out of the year on behalf of all of the people. If anyone would have been expected to have stopped and helped this man in distress, it would have been this priest. But he passes by on the other side. Then comes a Levite. A Levite was of the tribe that the priest came from. And so if you don't have a priest, well, the next best thing you could have would be a Levite. And he does a little bit better. He goes and he investigates. He looks, but he passes by on the other side. The third person to show up, as we know, was a Samaritan. The lawyer must have become upset when he heard the word Samaritan. We know that the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. John chapter 9, chapter 4 and verse 9, when Jesus is at the well with the Samaritan woman. John makes that clear, that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. To be called a Samaritan was an insult. Jesus is called a Samaritan in John chapter 8 and at verse 48. The Samaritans were the descendants of Jews who had intermarried with Gentiles. And so when the pure-blooded Jews came back from captivity, they looked upon this mixed-blood race as being inferior even to Gentiles. They looked upon them with disdain. Now, secular history tells us that that hatred went both ways. It wasn't just the Jews hating on the Samaritans. The Samaritans returned the favor. And we can see some of that in Luke chapter 9, verse 53, when they are refusing Jesus' passage through their village as he's on his way to Jerusalem to worship. History, secular history, records times that they actually attacked and did violence to one another. But here's this Samaritan, the least likely candidate of the three to do anything to help, but he stops and he helps. I want to pause right here and remind us that the gospel teaches us to, when we have opportunity to help others, we're obligated to help. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, therefore, as we have opportunity, that's what we're talking about here, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are to do good to everyone. In the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 14, Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So we are to do good. As we have opportunity, we are to do good to others. What does it take to be a good neighbor? It means taking advantage of opportunities to help people around about us. Good neighbors don't say, let somebody else do it. That's what the priest, that's what the Levite said. Good neighbors don't do that. They understand that opportunity plus ability means responsibility. Let's go back to the parable and let's see another characteristic here. He was a good neighbor because he had compassion. Verse 33 in our text says that when he saw him, he had compassion. To have compassion means to be stirred inwardly, to have sympathy, to be moved with pity. Unlike the priest and the Levite, when he saw this naked stranger left for dead, he was moved. He was moved with compassion. Our Lord and Savior was a compassionate Lord and Savior. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, but when he, that is Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. The same thing is said of Jesus when he sees the multitude before he feeds the 5,000, that he has compassion on them because of their physical plight, because of their situation. Our Lord was capable of having compassion for others. Are we? Can we be moved to compassion? Are we sympathetic? Are we merciful? Are we willing to act to help others? James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, as James begins this section in talking about faith and works, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food. Now there's an opportunity. Let's pause right there. There's an opportunity. There's a situation that should stir us to compassion. Here's some people that have basic needs that have to be met. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? It doesn't profit you anything regarding your faith, but it certainly doesn't profit or benefit the one who is in need. No, God designed his religion to glorify him, but he also designed his religion to benefit mankind. And if you and I will follow the example of our Lord and we will be compassionate, we will be of benefit to others. Have we lost the ability to be moved with compassion? That's a good question. And take just a moment to think about it and examine your heart. Have we lost the ability to be moved with compassion? We turn on the television and we have scenes of violence funneled in to our homes and funneled in to our senses to the point that we can become desensitized to it. I'm not talking about watching the movies where it's fiction. I'm not talking about the video games. I'm talking about the real events in the world. We can see so much of it, we become desensitized to it. Yeah, there it is again. Are we capable of having compassion? Or it may be that we have helped someone in the past and they did us wrong. Maybe we fell for someone's scam. They presented themselves as someone who really needed help and we gave them some money and it turns out they didn't need any help at all. They were just trying to get an easy dollar. It's easy to become cynical with an experience like that and decide we're not going to help anybody else. We can't do that. We can't do that. We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But brethren, we cannot lose the ability to have compassion on others. What made him a good neighbor? He was a good neighbor because he had compassion. Third, he was a good neighbor because he got involved. Back to our text in Luke chapter 10, we see that he saw him, verse 31. Verse 33, the Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, so he went to him. He got involved. Now, he could have saw him, he could have said that he had compassion on him. Oh, I feel for that man, and gone on. No, what made him different is that he got involved. He took the steps toward him, and he stopped. And he helped him. This is more than what the priest and the Levite did, although I believe that the priest and the Levite would have taught that this man needed to be helped. Matthew chapter 23, and here's what made the religious leaders of Jesus' day bad examples to follow. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. Therefore, what they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." So I believe the priest and the Levite, if they were to be given this scenario and asked, what should be done? Well, we should help that person, but they didn't do that. It was the one person that actually got involved. It was the one person who made the difference. This Samaritan crossed social and racial lines. We've already laid that out. Normally, they wouldn't have had anything to do with each other, but here's someone who is in need. His life is in the balance. I'm going to do something to help him. He got involved when society would have told him, don't do it. When his own people would have said, that's a Jew, let him die. They deserve this. He put himself in danger. Because after all, this could be a setup. There are bandits all up and down this road. And this could be a setup, and here's one of them that's acting like he's hurt, and when I stop and I bend over to help him, I'm going to make myself vulnerable, and I'm going to be attacked by his cohorts. No, he put himself in harm's way, and he helped somebody who was in need. Sometimes people who are in need don't find help because their cries fall upon the ears of those who don't want to get involved. Love is a verb. Agape love is benevolent goodwill. John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth." What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And that means we get involved. That means we get involved with those who are near us who need our help. Christianity is not a spectator sport. The call of Christ is a call to action. And part of this is a willingness to get involved and to use our talents and use our blessings, use our privileges and use our opportunities to help others. A good neighbor is someone who cares enough to get involved. Here's a final thing that we see in the Good Samaritan. He was a good neighbor because he was generous. Or I could also say sacrificial. He was generous. He was sacrificial. Notice he was generous with his time. They were traveling on this road. The priest was traveling. He was going somewhere. The Levite was traveling. And the Samaritan likewise was traveling. But when he saw this man in need, those travel plans got put on hold. And he was generous with his time. I don't know about you, but it's a challenge to me when I have to interrupt my schedule. A lot of us are that way. We like to have our day. We like to have our schedules laid out, right? We feel very comfortable with that. And when someone throws a wrench in that can be a challenge to us. We like our schedules. Many of us do. But sometimes being a good neighbor, that's not always something that's scheduled. That's something that we have to step up and take care of. So he was generous with his time. He was generous with his goods. Notice verse 34 in our text. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. The oil and the wine would have had medicinal properties to it, and they were poured on those wounds. So he was generous with his own oil and his own wine. And where did the bandages come from? It may be that he traveled with a piece of cloth and it could have been torn and used for that. But if the bandages came from his own clothes, clothes were very valuable in the first century. You didn't run out to the market and just put down a couple of dollars and you've got a new set of clothes. No, clothes were very valuable. Cloth would have been very valuable. So the bandages, wherever they came from, might have come from his own torn clothes of the man who was attacked. But if the bandages came from the Samaritan, he's very generous with perhaps his own wardrobe. He's generous with his mode of mobility, his mode of moving, his animal, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. If he was riding that animal when he found the man, he wasn't riding the animal any longer. Now the man who was wounded was on his ride and he was walking the rest of the way. So he was generous with his vehicle, we would say. And he was generous with his money. He opened up his pocketbook. He took him to an inn. He took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, or whatever more you spend, when I come, I will repay you." 1 denarii was a day's wages. So he lays on the counter 2 days' wages. He worked 2 days for that money he laid there for somebody else and said, "Whatever else it takes to get this man well, when I come back through, I'll pay you." So he was generous with his time. He was generous with his goods, generous with his animal, his transportation. That's the word I was looking for a minute ago. And he was generous with his money. All of this for somebody that he didn't even know. Would you and I be willing to do the same? Jesus asked the individual here, that the lawyer asked him in verse 36, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Well, the lawyer wouldn't even say the word Samaritan. But he did answer correctly. He said, "He who showed mercy on him." To which Jesus gives the reply, "Go and do likewise." This is why I have included the Good Samaritan in this series, this Be Like series. You know, we've looked at real people, men and women just like us. But then here we come to a man who's the subject of a parable. Now, this could have been a real person. Remember, parables are events that could have happened. But he could also be a fictional character. What are we doing including him in this? Because Jesus gives the instruction, be like him, in essence. Go and do likewise. Be like him. So as we're looking at people from the Bible that we need to be like, that we need to study their example, and we need to follow the pattern that they set, Jesus says, here's one right here. Be a good neighbor. Be like this man. What does it take to be a good neighbor? We need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have to help those in need. We need to develop and exercise a merciful and compassionate heart. We need to roll our sleeves up and get involved when the opportunities present themselves. And we need to be generous and sacrificial with those blessings that God has so richly given us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the teaching of this parable and the great challenge that it sets before us. For you have stated so clearly what it is that you are looking for in our responsibilities towards our fellow man as your followers. We pray that you would help us to have eyes that are open and looking for opportunities to serve our fellow man. We pray that you would help us in our hearts to overcome the obstacles that we have to showing compassion and mercy upon those who are in need. We pray that we would get involved in the lives of others and that we would be generous and make good use of those blessings that you so richly shower upon us. Help us to truly be good neighbors to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.